Today's episode of the Outlap F1 podcast is brought to you by DB. DB is a Scandinavian brand that makes backpacks and bags to help people on the move stay ready for anything. From the streets to the peaks, DB's gear is travel tested by some of the world's best athletes, adventurers, and creators. Over the past decade, DB has designed and developed, released, and refined the best bags in the market. With DB's patented hookup system, you are able to attach smaller products to your backpack, roller, or tote. We are teaming up with DB to exclusively offer our listeners 10% off your next purchase by using the code POD10 or going to our link in the show notes. DB, it's time to move on, time to get going. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna, your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap! Welcome to Season 3, Episode number 39, wow, we're getting way up there, of the Outlap F1 Podcast. This is our Italian Grand Prix race preview. You've got Andy, you've got Deanna, who has survived all of the storms and has got her new computer and is all raring to go, and John is joining us after doing a lot of moving for his folks today. So he was doing some yeoman's work, so we're happy to have three out of the four. James has some work duties calling him away tonight, so he will be back hopefully on Sunday. How are we doing on this Wednesday night? It's the last leg of this triple header.
I'm good. I haven't been this tired and that dirty in quite some time. It's been quite a few years, but it was good. It's been a long day, been going nonstop since early this morning, but I'm still awake, at least at the moment. So we promise it won't be too long of an episode tonight.
Yep. Ever since I said that I was having all good experiences traveling when we were in Nashville, my curse has continued. It has been downhill ever since. The one and only time I decided to book a train after the storm, the trains got canceled, but the planes are fine. So then I had to cancel the train and rebook a flight. And then I flew down there and back and it was fine. Everything was on time. But then I left Newark and there was going to get an Uber. There was just a sea of people and no Ubers available. The taxi line was a conservative 200 people long. So I was going to be waiting for like 3 hours in Newark at like 3 a.m. So I was like, my last ditch effort was to book an Uber Black, which is astronomically expensive. So much so that my credit card was like, this is fraud. And it got canceled.
Oh, no.
I was eventually able to order the Uber Black through my Venmo somehow and get home. But I spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and it's really, really great. Really love traveling.
Deanna's a high roller.
Deanna's next reaction video will be entitled "Planes, Trains, and Automobiles."
Oh, such a great
for
anybody
movie. Who's no, my next available. Episode is going to be me living on the street because I can't afford it. So much money on this freaking Uber. It wasn't even better than a normal Uber. Like, it was not worth triple the price.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it just has to be a black car.
Yeah, yeah.
Not a
I did it once by accident. I didn't even realize I had ordered it. And it was basically nothing more than like a black Lexus. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And this, I paid how much for that? But anyway.
I think I was on a GMC Yukon. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. So wait, you tried to take an Amtrak? Is that what I'm understanding here?
Yeah, I did. But so there's a tunnel that runs under the Hudson that got messed up from Sandy. I think it was that too got flooded or something happened to it.
Geez.
And that's where all the trains funnel through. So
for those of you not in the United States, you have no idea, especially the European listeners, you have no idea how good you have it when it comes to trains.
That's true.
I mean, your train system over there is just amazing in every shape or form. You come to the United States and it's an absolute joke. It'll take you 24 hours to do what would be equivalent of like a 9-hour drive because of all the stops. And you got to go halfway to Kansas and back to get to New York. It's the stupidest stuff on earth. But anyways, and the food is like makes airline food look delicious. So if that tells you anything, but Amtrak, good times. I've done it a couple times in my life.
great.
Don't so recommend great. It exactly.
Well, you can don't recommend Uber Blacks.
Well, we know who won't be sponsoring our show in the near future, and that's all fine. But you can find our show, if you are so inclined, on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, Reddit, and we will make, hopefully, our triumphant return to YouTube this Sunday as Deanna is calibrating and getting the new machine all powered up and ready to go at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email our show about anything you'd like at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can check out our website, www.outlapf1.com, where you can find our F1 for Beginners episodes. That's Season 3, Episode 6. Soup to nuts, if this is brand new for you, welcome aboard. Everything about the sport we love and love to talk about, Formula 1. You can also find our Sabre Cook interviews. That's Season 2, Episode 2, and Season 3, Episode 21. As we mentioned, Deanna's new computer is in, so she will be up and running on her Relap channel also in the very, very near future. Just another note, Outlap F1 Nation continues to grow. I love saying that. I don't know why, but I do love saying that we actually
have a nice ring
growing it, really nation. New monthly contributor this week. Thank you very much, Mr. Tim Brown, for stepping up and joining it. And if you'd like to be a member of Outlap F1 Nation, you can see our show notes where you can look at our anchor page, $1, $5, $10, 95 cents, whatever it is, it's all good. It all goes into making this show better for you, the listener, which without you, we couldn't do this. So please do check that out if you are so inclined. Final reminder, we continue to offer from the good folks at Manscaped the 20% off and free shipping. Check out with our code OUTLAP, that's OUTLAP, all one word. We are pleased and proud to bring that to you. So we went from last week where we had one driver announcement, Kimi Raikkonen making a retirement, and that kicked off all of the dominoes. It pretty much all happened like in the last 48 hours. This is probably the most efficient silly season I think I can ever remember. So I'm just going to kind of give you the bullet points really quickly, and then we'll all react to it. So George Russell to Mercedes, that's confirmed and announced. 2022 lineup will be Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. Valtteri Bottas goes from Mercedes to Alfa Romeo. That is confirmed and announced. It's Bottas and a question mark because we don't necessarily know who that second seat is yet. That's the one piece that's left over. Alex Albon makes a return to Formula One, and he will go to Williams. That is confirmed and announced. Also confirmed and announced was Nicholas Latifi. So Williams 22 lineup will have Alex Albon and Latifi. AlphaTauri confirmed Pierre Gasly and Yuki Tsunoda are back for 2022. So we basically really only have, I think, one unknown seat. We're pretty sure Haas is going to confirm the same drivers for next year, but that hasn't been announced yet. But what a news last couple of days.
It's been busy.
Yeah, I think obviously the Russell one was the worst kept secret in F1. I think we all knew that, at least for the last couple of weeks. We'd heard the rumors, and I think we all agreed Bottas to Alpha would be a good fit. I think as you guys talked about last week, it gives him that opportunity to be the main guy, the leader of the pack, to have a car built around him for the first time since, I guess, he was with Williams, probably, that's ever happened before. So that'll be good for him. The Albon, the Williams, I didn't think it would be so, but sure enough, it is. So, I mean, that one is interesting that Red Bull have said that they have no contract with him, but yet maintain a relationship, whatever exactly that means. I don't know if relationship means that they're friends, like, you and us. It's probably terrible grammar. Apologies for that. But you know what I was going for. But so, yeah, I don't know what the definition of relationship is in this particular equation, but that one surprised me, I guess, probably the most of all. I didn't know if really we'd see him back, to be honest with you.
So my comments kind of on Albon. I think, first of all, I don't think he ever should have been dropped last year. I think he should have gone back to AlphaTauri, and Tsunoda would have benefited from an extra year in F2. I think that probably would have been the better situation all around. I understand why Honda wanted him in, but I don't think he should have been dropped in the first place. He should have gotten that second opportunity like Gasly did. So it's good to see him back in there. I think for Williams, that's probably their best choice versus somebody, I think it's somebody with experience, unlike somebody like DeBreeze. And Hulk, I think, is on the older side. So getting a younger driver in like Albon is probably better for them long term if he does work out. And then I think a lot of this is probably the biggest thing to me, and a lot of people have brought it up, but the F2 calendar and the struggles that it has made for their drivers. So they're only halfway through. So there really hasn't been an opportunity to for one of those drivers to really shine through or kind of really have a good barometer where a lot of those drivers are. So there is young ones like Piastri and stuff like that. But right now, with the season only being halfway through and them trying to get drivers done now, I think Albon is probably the best option.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Do we know how many years that deal is?
They said multi-year, but you know, that can imply maybe two, you know, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean, I'm sure there are options.
One plus like, team option, one of those deals. Yeah. There's a lot that could go into that.
I thought it was interesting that, the F1 actually had to change the font for their confirmation because of all the fake George Russell ones. So they literally, I woke up, I saw that, and I'm like, they literally had to change the font in order to do that. So that was the worst kept secret in the paddock. So it's done.
Deanna screwed me over. Like, what was that, yesterday morning, the day before? You tweeted something like, am I doing this right? And I just like literally opened my eyes and I grabbed my phone and I see a retweet from you. And it was like Russell to, you know, Mercedes.
I did it after it was already announced because I was trying to make fun of all the people that did it for the past like 6 months in a row.
And I hadn't seen any of that. It was right. Yeah. My eyes had been open for like 20 seconds and I like looked over and I opened Twitter and I'm like, oh, it's official. And I like retweet. And then I'm like, son of a, she did it to me, damn it. But I'm glad that'll be hopefully be over for a little bit.
Yeah,
everyone will put their memes away for a little bit on that. Go ahead.
But one other thing I think is interesting about the move that a couple people have mentioned is the fact that Toto wanted Albon to sever ties with Red Bull if this happened, but it seems like Williams put their foot down and said, no, this is the driver we want. So there does seem to be some distancing there between Williams and Mercedes. They don't seem or don't want to be their junior team probably moving forward. So, I think that's just, we'll see how that relationship evolves over the next couple of years.
Oh, and that kind of ties into the next team and the rumors that we talked about last week is that with Alfa Romeo, you know, the thought of could they have an all Mercedes driver lineup? Would that mean a switch to them? You know, Toto has said that five teams is not real feasible. Maybe this lines things up for a Williams shift and a Alfa Romeo shift as well from an Indian perspective. But yeah, so obviously you mentioned Bottas and the question mark there, and you've got, you know, what I guess three different drivers that believe to be in the running for that. So that one's interesting to me. The Zhou one, I think, makes sense. You know, they're saying that, you know, his sponsors are willing to pay out £30 million to put him in that seat. But going back to teams that have alliances with other – or drivers that have alliances with other teams, he's an Alpine Academy driver.
True.
What do they feel about putting, you know, him in a Ferrari or a Mercedes-powered team and that relationship? Like, how does that play out? But we all know money talks as well, so.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling he would break his – that, you know, if he could, he'd probably break his academy deal and say, I'm doing this.
Because he's not going to Alpine anytime soon, right?
I mean, that avenue is closed, and Alpine doesn't have another team. They don't have anywhere to put these guys. They have this, they opened an academy. I mean, to me, that's the one that doesn't make any sense. I get the Ferrari one, I get the Mercedes one. Why Alpine decided to open a driver academy when you have nowhere to put these guys is kind of beyond me, because this is exactly what you get.
Sorry, there's a Grand Prix going outside of Deanna's window. So.
I don't even notice it anymore.
I'm telling you, the GP of New Jersey is going on live and in person right now for Deanna. But
I
mean, that's the thing. Is like, yeah, I agree. With Alonso signing a multi-year deal, with Ocon a multi-year deal, there is literally nowhere for him to go. So, yeah, I got to imagine if he gets a tap, he gladly shred that contract up in a heartbeat. Of the three, which do you guys think would be the best choice for the team as a whole and to pair up with Bottas?
Well, if you're talking about a pair up with Bottas, I would say Nyck de Vries would make the most sense just because they kind of understand each other a little more operationally. But you know, I mean, I know everyone wants to talk about Callum Ilott. It seems like his lot is going to probably end up in IndyCar in the near future. You know, Zhou is interesting, but I don't see, I think what you said, you know, the Alpine thing, switching power units, all that stuff, I don't see that working. So I think the natural choice is probably Nyck de Vries at this point for that seat.
Yeah, I think I agree on the de Vries bit, but I think a lot of people have mentioned Porcher potentially. This whoever is going to get the seat is probably going to be a placeholder for him for 2023. So I think this is just going to be kind of a stopgap for them. And maybe they take Zhou because that's a lot of money for a year and then move on. But yeah. I think it's most likely to be de Vries.
That would be cold. You take the $30 million and you run.
It's business.
Yeah,
it's Formula One. I mean, it makes sense. It definitely could happen.
Listen, if we could all solve all of these problems, if we just listened to Toto and what he said this week about all the teams should be allowed to have a third driver that's mandated to be a rookie, and they'll put 30 drivers on the grid, and we'd solve all these problems. All these guys with incredible talent, we could all have a seat for all of them and see what they can do.
This has been talked about before. I mean, this is, I remember when we were thinking about maybe only having 18 cars on a grid, that this was, that was the solution at the time was, you know, if we could do that.
I mean,
yeah, go ahead.
It's slowly becoming more feasible with the cost cap. I think Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull might have almost the staff, or at least the budget, or to get back to where they were spending. But then you've got to look down the grid and decide, is that fair or not? To those smaller teams, can they afford it? Is this feasible? How much would that cost cap have to come down for that to be something that's possible? But I don't mind the idea. I would love to see more cars. There's definitely a lot more drivers in the 20 on that grid that deserve to be there. So something like that would be amazing to see. Will it happen? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not. But with the exception of like Monaco, 30 cars in the grid sounds pretty incredible.
Go back to the good old pre-qualifying days.
There you go. I think we'd have to.
You have to bump them.
I agree. Yeah, there you go.
Bump qualifying. That'd be appointment TV too. But all right. So moving on. One quick kind of somber story to kind of remind everybody: Kimi Räikkönen will not be in Monza this weekend due to his recent positive COVID-19 test. So unfortunately, the Iceman will not get the send off from the Tifosi that he probably deserves, given his long time with Ferrari. Robert Kubica will fill in that seat again. This hopefully will be the last race that he would have to miss, but it was a tough ask when he tested positive, I think on Friday, to then have to turn around and within a week produce two negatives. So that's really tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate, like you said, the timing of all tracks that I would love to see Kimi have one more shot at. This would be it, just because of his history. And being the last Ferrari champion way back in the day. So, yeah, that sucks. I'm sure he'll still get a lot of love, you know, from the fans, a lot of signs and stuff like that. But, yeah, that kind of sucks. And Kimi may not give a crap about it. I don't know if he cares or not. But as a fan, it would have been cool to have that kind of one last memory there.
Yeah, I also feel for Ilott, too. The one time he goes for an Indy race, he can't fill in.
It's like, really? Come on, guys. You're killing me. Now I'm in Portland. What the hell?
Yeah, it's because he's poor actually guy. On the wrong side of the continent. Even like he couldn't even try. Like there's no even way like he could even get on a flight and try to do a doubleheader. No way.
He'll have fun in Portland though.
Yeah, that's true.
That'll be a fun race. Yeah, regardless,
absolutely. All right, so we are going to take a quick break, and we'll come on back, and we will hop into the Italian Grand Prix track facts and all of the setup for this race weekend. So come on back.
Attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do you have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like they're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code OUTLAP. That's OUTLAP, one word, 20% off free shipping. Let's get back to it.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 39 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our Italian Grand Prix race preview episode. We are now going to hop into the Italian Grand Prix, and those track facts, as always, are brought to us by Pirelli Motorsport. Deanna, tell us about the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza.
Yeah, so we will be in Monza this weekend and doing 53 laps around the track. The track length is 5.793 kilometers or 3.6 miles with a total of 11 turns. The tire selection for this weekend will have the middle of the range with the C2, C3, and C4. For the track characteristics, there is a traction of a 3 out of 5, braking of a 4 out of 5, lateral load of a 2 out of 5, tire stress of a 5 out of 5, asphalt grip of a 2 out of 5, asphalt abrasion of a 3 out of 5, and downforce of a 1 out of 5, where we will see very skinny wings. Our qualifying lap record was set by Lewis Hamilton, and it is a 118.887. And our race lap record is set by Rubens Barrichello with a 121.046.
Is that 2004?
Yep. It still stands.
Should have known. What a car.
So most wins at this track in second is Nelson Piquet with 4, and tied for first is Schumacher and Hamilton with 5. And for the most constructors' wins at this circuit is Mercedes in third with 9, McLaren in second with 10, and Ferrari in first with 20 wins in at home for Ferrari.
So what is the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza like? It is fast, or rapido. Formula One's fastest ever lap was set at Monza. Williams driver Juan Pablo Montoya's 260.6 kilometer an hour effort during practice for the 2004 Grand Prix. There's that car again. Which should give you some idea of the nature of this track that the locals call La Pista Magica. Cars are on full throttle for 80% of the lap and hit their VMAX on the circuit's 1.1 kilometer start-finish straight. From there, they roll off into the historic park section, where a series of big stops into tight chicanes gives the brakes a good workout. So the weather for this weekend, and this is a sprint qualifying weekend, so we'll have three different weather things that we're going to look at. So for the traditional qualifying on Friday, we will have intervals of clouds and sunshine in the morning with more clouds for later in the day, high of 83 degrees Fahrenheit, winds light and variable, 5% chance of rain. For the sprint on Saturday, partly cloudy skies, high near 85 degrees Fahrenheit, winds light and variable. Again, only a 5% chance of rain. And for race day, mainly sunny, high around, you guessed it, 85 degrees, winds light and variable again. So three carbon copy weather days, only a 7% chance of rain. So this should be dry. It should be fast. It will be Monza, and it will go green. Our 2020 recap, just to give some context to what we're about to talk about when we get into predictions. The top three in qualifying was Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, and Carlos Sainz. The qualifying fastest lap was that lap record, qualifying record of a 118.887 by Lewis Hamilton. And if you recall last year's race, it was that crazy race. Kevin Magnussen's Haas blows an engine and kicks off all sorts of chaos ensuing after that. The podium, the race winner, Pierre Gasly, followed by Carlos Sainz, and Lance Stroll took the podium positions last year. So do we have another crazy Monza race in store for next year? We shall see. Race fastest lap, just to let everybody know, was a 122.746, and that was set by the ever hard charging after his penalty, Lewis Hamilton. So we are going to go ahead and drop our checkered flag and get into our predictions. And like I said, it's a sprint race qualifying weekend. So we will start with the traditional qualifying driver and time. We've all kind of made our bets here. We're not being secretive this time. We think we're going to be okay. We're not above anybody too bad. So I will let.
I mean, I was trying
John
to be. I was trying to be secretive. I'm just a dumbass who typed it in the wrong document. You guys shouldn't have told me. I probably would have never known. but anyways, yeah. Okay, I'll start. So qualifying, I'm hoping for a recovery drive for a guy that is phenomenal at this track. I'm going with Lewis Hamilton. And for my time, I'm going to go with a 119.387.
All right, very good. Deanna, what you got for traditional qualifying, fastest driver, and time?
Yep, so I'm going to go guess that this is going to be a more Mercedes-favorable track and say Lewis Hamilton gets pole with a 119.9.
All right, very good. So James and I are both going to go with Max Verstappen. James has a lap time of 118.899. I have a lap time of 119.8. So we both think that it will be Max taking the pole, and we'll see. So we've got some split strategies there. For the sprint qualifying podium, Deanna, we'll start with you this time. What do you have?
More of a hedging my bets here. So my sprint qualifying podium, I'm not actually sprint qualifying. We're not. It's a sprint race. It's a race. Hopefully they got rid of the qualifying bit or I'm going to lose it. But I have Verstappen, Hamilton, and Bottas.
All right, John, what you got for sprint qualifying podium?
I'm going to go with a Lewis P1, Max P2, and a Bottas P3. So semi-chalk.
All right. James is going with Max in P1, Lewis in P2, and Sergio Checo Perez in P3. I am going Lewis Hamilton P1, Max Verstappen P2, and I'm going to ride or die with my boy again. I'm saying Lando Norris for P3 in the sprint, because if it doesn't happen here, I don't know where it's going to happen. So I'm thinking McLaren should do well this weekend. So that's what I'm going with. So for our race podium, John, we'll start with you this time. What do you have for your race podium?
Again, I'm going to ride or die with my boy here like you. If it doesn't happen to this track, we might be in trouble. So I'm hoping for Mercedes dominance here, and I'm going with a Lewis P1. I'm going with Valtteri. I think it's going to be a recovery drive. First kind of semi-dotted line drive, you know, time with an Alfa, Ferrari, you know, Tifosi crowd. You know, they might have that support. You might feel a little love for them. So going Bottas P2 and Verstappen in P3.
All right. Deanna, what's your thoughts for race podium?
I'm going to say that Hamilton takes the win solely so that the championship battle stays close. Verstappen in second, and then I changed my mind. I had Bottas in there, but I've been convinced, and Norris is P3 for me.
So you price is righted. Yeah.
Well, can't price is right people.
I haven't even gone. I don't know. I guess it's just two people with the same bid, so it's all good. So I'm going with Lewis Hamilton in P1. I have Max coming in P2. And then, again, I'm riding or dying with my boy, Lando Norris, for P3. So I think he converts his sprint.
Also known as what Deanna said.
Okay, that was we talked about this before the show. I talked to Andy about it. I was like, I was going to go that way, and then I tried to do something different, and then I went back to what my gut had, which it happened to be when Andy. So,
and I said, as I said before, great minds think alike. So yes, there so, we go. All good.
Hopefully it backfires.
We're fine.
Watch Norris get like P2 or something to screw it all up.
Yep.
Fastest lap and the driver. John, we'll start with, or actually I'll read James's first and then we'll go to John. So James has Max with a lap time of 122.911. Deanna, what do you have? And then we'll go to John.
I'm just now realizing I didn't decide on a driver. Hamilton.
Okay.
I'm doing Hamilton for everything. He's got to get at least one of these.
And what's your lap time?
123.8.
All right. John, what you got for driver and fastest lap?
So I was joking beforehand, but I'll throw it out there. In honor of James, I should do a 123.799 to officially Price is Right, Deanna, but I won't be that guy. James, I'm talking to you, buddy. So I'm going to go with a Verstappen P3 late pit stop, and I'm going to go with a 123.346.
Yeah, I will make it. I will concur with the Max assessment. I don't know if it'll be a late pit stop, but if it goes traditionally, it could be. But I do think Max will be gunning for that fastest lap one way or another. So I have 123.587. So we're close on that. So for bonus picks, James gets the honor of picking yet again, as he is still bringing up the rear in our standings. So he has P5, P9, and P13 on offer this week. He is going for P5 with Charles Leclerc, P9, Esteban Ocon, and P13, Yuki Tsunoda. Deanna, we'll start with you on this one. What you got for bonus
picks? Is it the
picks?
Same Honda driving around just all night?
I don't know. There's always, at least they're not blasting music, it's always the like Polaris slingshot things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yep. Yep. No, I know
blast music.
Exactly what you're talking about. Yep.
So we might hear a couple of those here in a minute, but we'll see.
Oh.
Anywho.
We could also bet on the Fast and the Furious race going on outside Deanna's door.
Area. That's actually a pretty good prop. Yeah. You should do reaction videos to that, Deanna.
Just stare out my window and, yeah.
Get your gimbal out and just hang it out the window.
Yeah. Yeah. Next time. So, that's what I should have done during the spa.
Yeah, that would have been more entertaining than watching the race.
Yeah.
Racing quotes. Yeah.
Anyway. So for my bonus picks, I'm going Gasly in P5, Leclerc P9, and Stroll P13.
All right. John, what you got for bonus picks?
I guess I'm thinking the same way as Deanna on P5. So I'm going Gasly P5. It's a good track for him, obviously. Proven winner here.
Price is riding me.
Totally. I'm going with a Lance Stroll. I'm probably going to regret that in retrospect, but I'm going to Lance Stroll in P9, and I'll go with a Giovinazzi in P13.
All right. So for mine, I'm going a slightly different direction. I'm going Fernando Alonso for P5. I actually think this is where Alpine may show very, very well here. P9, I'm going with Charles Leclerc, because I do think Ferrari will be a little struggly, but I do think they'll get some points.
Price is right in Deanna.
P13, this is where I have Nicholas Latifi. So Williams, not necessarily in the points, but not necessarily in the back.
I could see that with Latifi.
Yep.
This might be a decent drive for them.
So our prop bet this week, we took a while to figure this one out, but we eventually settled on the longest tire stint, as this is usually a one-stop race. So we're going to try to figure out what that longest tire stint is. We're not going to hold anybody to compounds. James is going with a 34-lap tire stint. John, what you got for longest tire stint?
So I think if I remember correctly, Pirelli said last year that it would be somewhere in the mid-20s. But I'm hoping that there may be like a Checo or someone like that that goes long. So I'm going to go with 33 laps.
All right. Deanna, what you got?
No logic behind it, but 31.
I just went lower than everybody else, so I'm going to say 29.
29 it is.
Yep. So last item before we head on out of here and get ready for this Monza weekend, session times. It's a sprint thing weekend, so you know all the session times are a little bit different. So practice one kicks off at 8:30 a.m. Eastern. The traditional qualifying, if you can take your lunch off to watch it, please do, starts at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 o'clock a.m. Central. Practice two then kicks off at 6 a.m. Eastern, 5 a.m. Central. The sprint race itself will kick off at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Central. So that's another quirk in the scheduling. And the race is at its usual normal European time, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central. So before we all get out of here, any final thoughts as we head into the Monza weekend?
No, other than the fact that I'm going to have to put all those in my calendar because I'm not going to remember any of those awkward times. I'm going to be well off this weekend. Probably going to make sure I set my DVR too, because I feel like I'm going to miss one of these sessions by like half an hour. So as long as it's not the race, I guess that's all that really matters. But yeah, it's going to be an awkward weekend. Not sure why we had to have funky times, but you know, it's all good. And hopefully I'll have that, you know, maybe my neighbor over again, and hopefully he's not a jinx like last time. So. You know, for it.
Well, he'd have to do something to get some rain out of this forecast.
For his second ever F1 race, hopefully it will be better than the first at Spa. So,
yeah, I think this is just another weekend testing the sprint thing. So we'll see how that goes all the way around. Monza tends to be one of my favorite tracks, so hopefully it kind of lives up to that.
Do we think that traditional qualifying is going to be a hot freaking mess as well?
Well, that was what I was just about to say. I have a funny feeling we may still see the traditional qualifying on Friday turn into the hot mess because everyone has less practice time. Now, it'll be interesting to see if they do the same thing that they did in Zandvoort, where they're all bunching up in the end of the pit lane as opposed to the last corner. So it just seemed like it moved at least in Zandvoort. So we'll see if that ends up. And apparently Michael Massey was fine with it, which makes no sense to me. But again, we're making this
nothing
up
that Michael
along.
Massey does yeah. make sense to anyone yeah. these days. So yeah, and no, hopefully Stroll doesn't get or Vettel doesn't get, you know, in any kind of incidents trying to make a hot lap as well with the Haases. I mean, there's going to be all kinds of fun going on in the Parabolica this weekend. So let's hope.
Yeah, look out for that.
We all get through it safely. That's all. Because I guarantee there's going to be some Q3, shenanigans.
Q3 2019 is the greatest lap of all time. When Carlos he was like, Hulkenberg goes through the.
Yeah. Like, he's like, no, nah, I'm not leading this. No. Nope.
And goes through.
And then every, yep. and then the rest of it just slows down as well. They're like, no, nah, I'm about speeding up for this guy. No, we'll slow down too.
I think one car made it.
It was Carlos Sainz. So yeah. Carlos Sainz was the only one that made it. And so had good. No shot because he had no toe. So yep. it did not matter. So anyway, yeah, tune in for that Friday, if nothing else. And we will be back on Sunday and we will recap everything that happens. If we get any more driver movement over the course of this weekend, we will, of course, let you know. Stay tuned to our Twitter, at Outlap F1 Podcast. So for Deanna and John, it's been Andy. And as always, may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.